So I really fouled up because that was not the reading I prepared, but somehow I misread my own notes. So the reading I prepared was the rich young man, you know, who comes to Jesus and said, well, what must I do to be saved? So Jesus said, go sell everything you have and give the money to the poor, and then come and follow me. And the melancholy last words of that passage, and the rich young man went away sad because he had lots of stuff. And that's a problem with many of us, I think. Like, as I approach the grave, I'm trying to disencumber myself of African art, of CDs, of DVDs, of books, blah, blah, blah. The house is overwhelmed with all that stuff. And it is an encumbrance. And I'm sorry to be, at my age, aware of the fact that it is an encumbrance. Because what happens, of course, when you own stuff is that the stuff begins owning you. You don't own it, it owns you. In the sense that it determines who you like, where you go, what you buy, what you don't buy. And that's a form of, as the gospel says, a form of idolatry. The gospel of Matthew also has that stark thing, you cannot serve God and money. And for we in the capitalist West, this is positively counterfactual. All you have to do is look at the bonuses that the Wall Street brokers are paid. Look at the discrepancy between the rich and the poor, not just in the States, but here in Canada as well. They're getting bigger and bigger. And there seems to be no way of retarding that process of the division of us human beings from each other. Because that's what really divides us from each other. I am what I own. And therefore, if you don't respect what I own, then you don't respect me. And then, by God, we're enemies. Necessarily. Well, that's utter rubbish, of course. We're blinded, in other words, from seeing the other human being as a fellow human being, as a co-human being. You look at the car they drive, the clothes they wear, where they went to school, what degrees they have, what their job is. It always throws me, with my three own sons, to talk to other parents. Say, oh, my son's a very successful stockbroker. Oh, my daughter is very successful. She's a lawyer. Oh, my son's very successful, he's a doctor. Well, what about the other four sods who are none of those things, you know? Where do they end up? Where are they beyond our purview? That's where they end up. It's very simple. So we're constantly, I think, especially we in the West, who live at a level which would take seven planets to accommodate the entire human population to live at the same level at which we live. Think about that. We need seven Earths, you know, to go home to my TV, my record collection, and my books, and my dog, and blah, 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 blah. It's terrifying. So, what is this? It's an injunction, first of all, not to chastise ourselves, but to examine our lives, to examine who we think we are and why we think we are who we are, and to begin to revise that in the light of this poor man Jesus. And thank God we finally have a Pope who's driving around his little Kia subcompact in Korea right now, rather than one of the Mercedes or BMWs that filled the Vatican garage, as that we listened to him. Finally, there was an inordinately depressing email sent to me about the houses that the archbishops of the United States live in. None of them were less than $1 million. None of them. Some as high as $18 million. Think about that. What do they say to us? What is their measure of success, of accomplishment? It's all trash. But worse than that, it is counter-symbolic. It sends out a whole different message than the one that Jesus was interested in purveying. Blessed are the poor.